Well, welcome to you. Welcome to week 5 of our 40 days of prayer. If you have your journal with you today, we're on page 117. That's the empty page where you can take notes during today's message. I want to talk to you today about how to pray throughout your day. And in the coming week, as you meet with your small groups and places, you'll add to that and keep going through your journal. And as always, if you're not part of a small group and you want to come and interact with my group on Wednesday night at 6:15 is when we get started, right over here in the cafe. We would love to have you share with us, share with us over there. All right. Let's jump right in because we got a long way to go. Isn't it amazing how some days when we just get up, we never know what's around the corner? You know, anybody feel like that? Anybody get up and you're like, I'm not sure what I'm going to face today. I'm not sure what's coming my way. And you know, usually our life throws us some curves, doesn't it? Some weeks ago here at church, after our day was over, and I remember specifically, we had a great day here. We'd had a couple of baptisms, and it was just a beautiful time. And I left. I was going to meet the family for lunch. And I was the last one leaving the office. So as I pulled out on the Juniata Gap Road, I looked up Juniata Gap, and I didn't see anybody coming, nothing. So I pulled and went right. And as soon as I started to go right, I heard this sound and then this flashing blue light. I'm not sure what it was, but I got pulled over, all right? A policeman pulled me over down here in the college parking lot. And, I kind of knew. I thought, you know what, I don't think I stopped for that stop sign back there. Matter of fact, not only did I stop, I don't think I hardly slowed down, you know. You know those stop signs that you're just, like, really familiar with? And there wasn't anybody coming. And, you know, I mean, I was going to Chili's. I was in a hurry. And, he pulled me over, and he got out of the car, and he came back, and he said, sir, did you notice that stop sign back there? And I said, yes, I did. He said, well, did you come to a full stop? And I said, no, I sure didn't. And he said, I know. And all of a sudden he said to me, he said, aren't you the pastor of that church? I said, no, I'm just in town visiting family this weekend. You know, and of course I said, yes, that's me. And I really appreciate it because here's what he said. He said, you know what, I don't want to give you a ticket just when you're leaving church. And I said, well, that's great because I really wouldn't want you to give me a ticket when I'm leaving church. And he was really nice and told me to be careful and told me to make sure that I stop at that stop sign now. And I usually, I watch myself on that now. You know, you ever have those unexpected things, you know, maybe it's a policeman, maybe it was a doctor that interjects something in your life. Maybe it's a family member, a friend, somebody that you work with. But you know what? There's just a lot of times that we just never know what's around the next corner. You know, I think that is a real good reason why God encourages us to pray. And to pray a lot. To pray without ceasing. To pray like it says in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 18, when Paul says, pray in the Spirit at all times, with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. Does that describe your conversation with God each day? Praying in the Spirit, praying all kinds of prayers, for all kinds of situations, for everything that you need. Matter of fact, what I want to encourage you to do today in this message is just to keep a running conversation with God. I mean, when you get up in the morning, that you communicate with God, that as your day unfolds, that you communicate with Him. As you are hit with things that you weren't expected, that you'll talk to Him. As you finish your day, you're conversing with Him. And as you begin to think about the next day, that you're conversing with Him. Tim, run me that water up here, please. Up there. I missed the grass. I thought I had one up here. But we want to keep a running conversation with God. Are you like me? You know, years ago when they came out with this texting thing, thank you so much. I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard of. You know, that to think that I was going to, like, have one sentence conversations with with people, or you know, or my kids, or whatever. But you know what? I'm sure that you're like this too. Texting keeps me in a running conversation with several different people. You know, I mean, I have this conversation with Arlene, you know, all day long. You know, good morning, how are you? You know, I'm downstairs watching the news. Can you bring me a cup of coffee, please? You know, at midday, it's like, you know, how's your day going? Anything new happen? I mean, for goodness sake, Arlene and I work 50 feet apart, and we text each other from one office to the other. You know, and I think it's a great illustration of how God wants us to be with Him. Have a running conversation, an ongoing conversation. I think that's what it means, Ephesians 6:18. Pray on every occasion. Pray as the Spirit leads you. God, you know, here's what my day is bringing. Here's what's happening. Lord, here's what I'm faced with now. Give me strength with this. Give me wisdom with that. God, help me in this situation. Lord, be with this person who I just encountered. An ongoing conversation with God. Paul says it this way to the Thessalonians. He says, never stop praying. Pray all the time. So here's what I encourage you today with praying throughout your day. I want you to schedule times of prayer throughout your day. Okay? David says this in Psalm 119. And I love this verse. Psalm 119 in verse 64. Look at what it says. David says, seven times a day I praise you. So I want to use that as an encouragement to you today. I want to suggest to you seven times throughout your day that you can stop and have this running conversation with God, okay? Seven times. Here's the first one. Get up with gratitude. Get up with thanksgiving. I have a sister, Deborah, who lives in North Carolina. She's 2 years older than me. And when I talk with her, and it's often, I'll say, Deborah, how are you today? How are you feeling? And she says, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. It's better than the alternative. She says that a lot. Or you know, we're talking about somebody that's having a day, having a struggle, and she says, you know what, I just thank God that I have another day. My sister has this wonderful attitude about every day being a new blessing, a new moment, a new chance, and just getting up every day and having this gratitude to God that you have this new day. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look what it says. It says, what do you have that God did not give you? Well, that's a good question. And what do you have that God did not give you? Everything is a gift from God. And if it was given to you, how can you brag about it? In other words, every blessing that you have is a gift from God. So I want to suggest to you just to begin your day with God. You know, about 15, 17 weeks ago, we started having a get-together every Sunday morning where local pastors get together and pray at 6:30. So at 6:30 this morning, this is actually a picture from this morning. See the guy out there in the green shirt, okay? There you go. And that was just this morning at the Abundant Life Assembly of God Church down on Lexington Avenue. Pastor Walt welcomed us there. Alex was there. Give it up for Alex. Got up at 6:30 to go to pray this morning, you know? And we got together. I think there was 25, 26 pastors and leaders of churches here in the area. And I just want to tell you, and it's amazing. You know, I've been doing this a long, long time. But God taught me through this that, you know what, when you pray regularly about something, it makes a difference. So we invite our local pastors. If you know a local pastor, have them get in touch with me or one of these other preachers, and we will welcome them to this time together. But just in the morning, every morning, being grateful to God for what He's blessed us with. Look at what Matthew 6 says. He says, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So then this is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. It is the gift from God every new day. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect present comes from your Father of light in heaven. So what He's asking us to do is just to get up in the morning and recall how God has been good to you. That's the first. Let me give you the second one here. How about at breakfast every morning that we just bless God's name? That we just praise Him. You know, that's how the Lord's Prayer, how the model prayer begins. It begins by saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." So when we get up in the morning, we're thankful. And then when we get up in the morning, we give God praise, not just for what we have to sustain us, but for His power that lives in us. Look at what David said in Psalm 145. He said, "Every day I will bless your name and praise it forever and ever." And you know what, folks? When you begin your day like that, God's going to make a difference. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek you." You know, I love that phrase, "who truly seek you." Because, you know, I think sometimes people seek God in kind of a manufactured, unreliable, you know, kind of a fake kind of way. I think when he says that those who truly seek him, in other words, that this is a priority. When you get up in the morning, you're just thankful for a new day. You're just giving God praise for the beautiful things that He has given you in this day. Now, here's the third thing. The third time that you need to pause and pray to God is during the mid-morning. And here's what I want to mention to you, and Rick Warren actually mentions this in his study. Just take some time where you remember what matters most. Now think about this. At mid-morning, that's usually when we're in the heart of what our day is going to bring. You know, we have an agenda, we have a plan, we have a to-do list, and we go to work, and we get started and situated, and then by mid-morning, we're into the stuff that the day is all about. You know, the meetings that have to take place, the changes that have to be implemented, you know, the people that we have to talk to. And here's the thing, folks. I think what this encouragement is all about is when you're in the part of your day that is most important to you, make sure that you remember what's really most important. And certainly what's most important is understanding who God is. In the model prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, and He says, "May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God, may our life, may what happens to us in this life mirror what your will is. And you know what? It's an awesome thing to just have that time of day when you align yourself with God's purpose and God's plan for your life. That the things that are on your mind are the things that are on the heart and the mind of God. Where you stop and where you understand that the world might be drawing your attention, drawing your energies toward this. But you have to understand what's really most important in life. And that is the things of God. I mean, should I even remind us of Matthew 6:33? "If you seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, all the other things will be given to you as well." I think about it, okay? Seven times a day. Number one is when you get up, you're thankful. Number two is when you pause for breakfast and you just praise Him for what you have. Number three, at mid-morning, you pause and you just recognize what's most important in life. And then number four, and we're at lunchtime, and this is the time where we can give God our petitions. Where we give God our petitions, where we intercede on behalf of other people. Jesus said in Matthew 6:11, "Give us today our daily bread." This is the time where we ask God for anything that I need. Anything that's on my mind. Anything that's there in my spirit. I mean, the invitation of Jesus is that we can ask for anything in His name, any desire of our heart, that we can offer those things to Him. This is a great time in the middle of the day, at lunchtime, where we can stop and do that. John 14, verse 13 says that you can ask for anything in My name, and I will give it. So we do that, but then what we also do is that we ask for what other people need. Not for just what I need, but what other people need. Because you know what? I found that when I focus my prayer life on what other people need, my needs are met much, much quicker. You know, when you focus on blessing someone else's life, you realize how blessed your life is. You know, a couple years ago when we were in the middle of this building project here, there were some days we had 30 or more people working here. Masons and carpenters and, you know, all these different people. And one day where we planned, we said, you know what? I said, I want to take you guys to lunch, okay? You know, nothing but the best for all you guys. How about if we all go to Texas Hot Dog on me? All right? So we loaded up the vans one day, and we took this entire crew down to Texas Hot Dog. I saw Maury come in here. There he is. Did you go with us that day? You didn't. You missed it. Anyway, you know, you don't know what fun is until you get the bill and it's $350 in hot dogs. $350 in hot dogs. Okay, it was incredible. We had the whole back of the restaurant to ourselves, and Maury will back me up on this. None of these guys, they didn't want to go anywhere else and work. You know, because our ladies here fed them one day. Man, they made them a big. I mean, it was just incredible. And I think if we would have kept, they slowed down, didn't they? They didn't want to finish because they just thought they might get another free meal out of it, right? Right. You know what? It's a marvelous thing when you change your life and not only think about yourself and what you ask God for, but you intercede and you bless the lives of others in your prayers. Look at this passage. I never remember reading this before. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 26. Can you see that? Isn't that incredible? Here, let's all read that together. I mean, if you're comfortable doing that, join me and let's read that together. I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. Isn't that beautiful? I would be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter 1. He says, Jesus has the power of God by which He gives us everything we need to live and to serve God. And we have these things because we know Him. Paul says to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition and thanksgiving. And present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That can be the blessing from God through our prayers for us and for those that we pray for as well. All right, so we've talked about morning, breakfast, mid-morning, lunch. Now let's go to the afternoon. And number five in the afternoon, I think we can stop and ask for forgiveness. You know, a big part of prayer in the life of a believer is confession. It's not just thanking God. It's not just praising for God. It's not just giving God your petitions. It's not just interceding in the lives of other people. It's just stopping and saying, you know what, God? I messed up. You know, just confessing to God the things that are on your mind and in your heart. He says this in the model prayer as well. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that we sin against. You know, it's always amazing to me when you hear this prayer in public. You know, when you go to a wedding or you go to a funeral, and they say, you know, let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Well, let me see if you're like me, okay? When you do that and you say the Lord's Prayer together, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You go through the prayer, and when you get to this part, you know, forgive us, and I always just kind of stop. And if you ever notice, almost everybody stops and they listen to the person leading and they want to hear whether or not he's going to pray, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Remember that? I remember that as a kid. That's the way you said it. Forgive us our debts and forgive us our debtors. You know, for the life of me, when I was a kid, it was like, well, why are we praying about the people we owe and the people that owe us? Or another way is to say, you know, forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those that have transgressed against us. That's a little fuzzy too, isn't it? You know what? I love just the literal translation of this passage in the English today. God, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. That's what it means. That's what the word means. Debt, transgression. It's our sins. So every prayer should have a time of confession where we admit our sins, where we then offer forgiveness to others who most times have done nothing more than frustrated us. And the frustrated relationships that we have with other people many times hinder our prayers because we don't forgive them. And the Bible says that we need to forgive them so God will in turn forgive us. Psalm 32 verse 5 says, I confessed my sins to you and didn't try to hide them. Then you forgave me and now all my guilt is gone. You know, to a lot of people, we're trying to hide our sins. Oh, I pray. You know, I thank God for the day. I praise God for what I have. I have times where I recognize what's most important. I have times that I intercede for others and I pray on my behalf. But how about this time of confession? How about this time of hiding away our sins? And also ask for help to make wise decisions in our prayers for Him. Why? Because He tells us our prayers to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. And making sure that we are staying in touch with our Heavenly Father each and every day. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Look at what it says. It says, remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you're tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. And I was in a conversation with someone recently They shared something with me that they had been thinking in their own life, and it was less than flattering. And she said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't even be sharing this with you because you know you shouldn't even have to hear about things like this." And I said to her, "I said, ma'am, just listen, trust me. Anything you've ever thought, I've thought." You know, to think that we don't have temptations or we don't have these moments in time that we struggle in life. Listen, we all do that. And we should have a time, a moment in our prayers where we remember that. Where when we are strong, that's when the devil will attack us. Psalm 101 verse 3, I love this. David says, I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. Overcoming temptation. David, now think about this. David, think about David saying this. David, the one that committed adultery with Bathsheba, the one that committed so many sins through that entire episode. And he says, listen, I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. That's a choice that we make. I think I probably said this to you before. Arlene and I were on vacation some years ago, and we were laying on the beach, and we were just reading and having a nice time, and this woman walked by, and oh my gosh, the bathing suit this lady had on, it just was almost non-existent. You know, and she walked by, you know, Arlene says, she says, oh my gosh, did you see that? And I said, what? I didn't see anything. She said, come on, John, you're not dead yet, buddy, all right? Come on. Right? Right? David said that I refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. You know, think about the culture in which he lived and the culture that we live in today. I mean, this verse is so much stronger today, I think, in our culture, in our time, than it ever was for David. Because our vision, our sight is bombarded with a whole lot more things that are vile and vulgar than he had. But this is something that we need to guard against as well. Okay, now think about this. We've gone through six. Let me give you the last one. End your day with a benediction. End your day with a time of encouragement. End your day recognizing the truth of God and how wonderful your day has been. Think about that. You wake up in the morning with thanksgiving. You pause and praise God at breakfast. At mid-morning, you recognize what's most important in your life. At noon, you give your petitions to God and pray not only for yourself, but for other people. In the afternoon time, you stop and you confess to Him. And you have this moment where, God, help me to overcome temptation. And then when all that is done and at the end of your day, you just circle back around to this idea of God's truth and the benediction of your life. Because when you end your day, it is the benediction of your day and the benediction of your life because you're not promised tomorrow. So he ends the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, with this verse. He says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, Rick Warren, in his study, he mentions how the Lord's Prayer begins and ends the same way. The Lord's Prayer begins how? Our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. How does it end? Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And then in the middle, you have this intercession, you have this temptation, you have this confession, but you begin and end your day recognizing how wonderful and how awesome God is. Now listen, folks, I think what you need to recognize and understand, when you're talking about praying throughout your day, I'm not talking about, you know, setting aside 7 one-hour periods of prayer. I mean, that's awesome if you can do that. But I'm talking about a life that has an attitude of prayer. You know, these things can be prayed in a moment. I mean, just when you get up in the morning, before you roll over and your feet hit the floor, you say, God, thank you for this day. I have another day. God, thank you for this. You know, you're talking about breakfast. Sometimes, like you know, Arlene's been gone. By the way, Arlene is here this morning, not just visiting either. You know, she's back for a while. And my family, daughter, Sarah's here with her husband, Mark. My grandkids are here. This is awesome. It's going to be a great, great day. But here's the thing. Since you got my breakfast for a time, I'll get a hard-boiled egg and a handful of grapes out of the refrigerator, and I eat them in my car as I'm going. You can pray then. You know, God, thank you for the bounty that I have today. Right? I mean, in the middle of your day, when you're in the middle of the most pressing things that you have that day, and you have a boss or somebody that's getting ready to walk into your office, you can pray right then. God, listen, I'm about to get into a situation here, a conversation here. It's going to be hard. God, let me remember what's most important about life and that your will is done. That's the most important thing. Well, maybe at lunch you have some more time where you can pray, and you can pray for yourself, you can pray for your family, you can intercede for others. In the afternoon, you know, when you're confessing, you know, you can do that in just a moment. I mean, when you're asking God, dealing with your temptations, and then at the end of your day, you can just pause and ask God to let you sleep well. knowing that you've had an ongoing conversation with Him all day. Let me show you one passage of Scripture, and I'm done. I'm going to quit. But I love this passage of Scripture. I've never really noticed this before. It's a proverb from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. Look what it says. He says, reverence for God adds hours to your day. Reverence to God adds hours to your day. What does that mean? You know, I thought a lot about this week, and you have to interpret that to mean that if you do this, if you have an ongoing conversation with God, if you have a constant communication with Him throughout your day about what's going on, about your life, and confession, and repentance, and all these things, you're going to get to the end of your day, and you know what? You're going to say, you know what? I had enough time for everything I needed today. But if you fall into the temptation of what the devil says, then you know what? You don't have time for God. You don't have time for prayer. That's what keeps you from doing these things, because you're just so busy, you're so taxed, you have so much on your plate. When you do that, and then you kind of push God out, you know, I just don't have enough time. You know, the hour's not long enough. All that. Listen, if you interject reverence for God in your day, you'll have enough time. That's the point. And that's the point of what prayer should be for all of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray right now, just like we've just shared, Lord. We want to practice what we preach. So, God, we want to have all of these different aspects of prayer in our life. And Lord, may it make a huge difference in who we are and who we become, and in the life of our family and all those that we love, and even Lord, where we work and where we spend our day. So, Father, as we stand and sing about this beautiful, beautiful name, I pray, Lord, that we'll be encouraged to do all that and more. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.